Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Apostle Paul talked about what we wrestle against. He used that word wrestle, and he said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And that's true. Our fight is not with human beings, with each other. We're wrestling against something beyond us, beyond what we can see, the powers, principalities, the rulers of darkness. And he talks about getting ready to fight a fight against the devil, not against each other, but against the rulers of darkness, you know, the things that we are not able to see, but the things that we are really fighting against. And again, if we're not careful, we'll spend all of our time fighting flesh and blood. You know, I don't know if this has happened to you. I'm still young. I appreciate Terry Tolman. He's probably upstairs right now, but I heard he was going to speak at Senior Saints. And I had a great time at Senior Saints, even though I cheated and not supposed to be there. And he talked about the power of the tongue. And the way he talked about it was convicting to me because he did it out of such a place of humility. If any of you know Terry Tolman, he's a good person. He's not here, so I can pick on him. But he's one to talk about the power of the tongue because he's very quick to say something. And he's taught me a lot over the years. But the way he presented himself was out of such a place of humility, saying we've all been there. We've all said something we shouldn't say. And we've all caused strife that we shouldn't cause because we're warring in the flesh. We're warring against flesh and blood. We pick the wrong fights. You might be in a battle right now and you start to realize I'm fighting the wrong person. You know, you might be a husband and wife and you might have a disagreement over, you know, whose job. Angie was talking about Brother Nick doing a lot of stuff at home, you know, deciding who's gets to delegate which responsibility and who takes care of what. Aaron and has already decided that he is mommy's boy, and when Arnie gets here, he'll be mine, so I'm responsible for Arnie, and Aaron wants to stay with mommy, but whose responsibility is this part of the, you know, raising the kids, and those wrestling matches that we all have when we struggle and say, well, you know, I thought you were going to take care of that, you know, kind of like tonight. There's things that I gear myself to be ready to do, and there's other things that I'm ready to step out of the way and let Dad take over, and that butting heads, that wrestling match, and saying, well, you know, weren't you going to handle that, and I'll take care of this, and you take care of that, and we'll just be fine. You know, I'll get in my corner, you get in your corner, and we'll deal with it. But we're looking in the wrong place. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do struggle. There is a struggle. The Apostle Paul talked about it, that armor that we need to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And first of all, say, I don't know when your evil day is. It might be today. This could be the worst it ever gets for you, you know, but maybe not. The evil day might come a different time. It's that time of temptation, that time of testing. And what God wants us to be able to do is not be in the wrong fight. He wants us to be prepared to fight the enemy, be prepared to fight the devil, and not prepared to fight one another. And again, the reason I struggle with this is I talked about shipwreck. The last time we had the boat set up, it's so easy to look at a crash or a wreck. You know, they go into an airline crash and they get the black box and they play back the recording and they say, okay, here's where it all went wrong. And if you go back 5 minutes, they made a mistake there. If you go back 5 more minutes, they made a mistake there. It's easy just for, you know, talk about the Titanic. One mistake, last time we had the boat, we sang, I have not seen the movie or anything, but I heard that they sang "Nearer My God to Thee" when the Titanic was going down, and I tried to sing that on the boat as a sarcastic gesture, but we're not going to sing it this time. But when the Titanic crashed, they said, okay, well, there was an iceberg. They didn't get the warning. They went back a few steps, and they saw there's a failure, a systemic process of failure, and everybody doesn't want to be part of a shipwreck. We want to fight the right battles. We don't want to be caught up in the wrong fight, in the wrong battle, wrestling against the wrong thing. And if we don't fight the right enemy and fight the right fight, we'll fail when it's time to stand. We'll fail when it's time to fight the right battles. If we're so caught up with each other, with flesh and blood, when the enemy comes and that spirit of division comes, we won't even be ready to fight that fight, because we're so caught up fighting with each other. We won't be able to to stand, to fight the right battles, we won't be able to love one another. And we won't be effective in winning other people to Christ. Jameson is always a challenge to me. I'm not picking on you, but he's always a challenge to me because if he's not talking about, you know, Star Wars, he's talking about the people at his school that he's led to Christ. That's what is on his mind. And he's not concerned with getting in fights on the playground. He's concerned with telling people how they can know Jesus. And all of us could learn from that example. I thought about, in the Bible, Samson, a man that had a great potential that could be greatly used by God, and he got distracted. He got distracted by lust. He got distracted by wanting to do things his own way, wanting to set aside the vows and the promises that he'd made. I thought about Saul. He wanted to impress God with his sacrifices, and Samuel said, "You should have just obeyed." I thought about King David when he sinned with Bathsheba and that whole process he went through and how he let lust guide him away from the fight that he was supposed to be in. And instead, he got into the fight of trying to cover his sin and trying to lie to the man of God. And he had to go through and confess his sin and remind himself and ask God to restore his joy. And I thought even about David's son, Solomon. He was so fed, he was so trying to impress everyone. He had so many 100 wives, and he was trying to keep peace with so many different countries and, you know, being political and giving everybody what they wanted. And he got so bogged down with different gods that God was not able to use him as to the same extent, and he had to say it's all vanity, it's all emptiness when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. But we look at crashes or we look at things that have gone wrong, and it's good for us to look at things that have gone wrong. It's good for us to look at people that have made mistakes and learn from them. And just for just a few minutes tonight, I am going to talk about Abraham and Lot. In Genesis chapter 13, the Bible tells us the story of Abraham and Lot, and many of you, all of you probably know it. And the reason I want to go through it tonight, I want to look at something and realize you can avoid the shipwreck. You can avoid fighting the wrong battles. You can avoid being caught up in the wrong war. And we need to avoid those things so we're able to stand when it does come down to it. Several times in Lot's life, there were deciding moments that he just wasn't there for. He just didn't show up. So when God needed him to make a choice, he either made the wrong one or he was not there to make the choice. In the book of, like I said, in the book of Genesis, it talks about Lot, and Abraham and Lot came to a decision point. The herdsmen were fighting. And Abraham said, "I don't want this fight to go on, so Lot, you pick a place to go, and I'll pick a place, and we'll split up." So they split up. Lot, throughout his life, he went through different choices, and he allowed things to happen. It wasn't so much that he chose for it to happen, he just allowed it to happen. He followed Abraham, and he followed him until their followers disagreed with each other. And then he chose the good life. In Genesis 13, it says, "Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan." So Lot made a choice to choose the blessed life. And tonight I want to remind you, the struggles that you go through, it'll be very easy to avoid confrontation. It'll be very easy to avoid the standing out and being seen and making the choice that everybody will mock you for. It would be very easy to avoid all that and just choose the pleasant life. I think about like a young man at a public school that, you know, like I just talked about Jameson. He has to make a conscious choice to stand up for God each and every day. And I went to Christian school, but there's choices that you have to make, and you have to stand up for what you believe in, no matter where you are. If you have a good working environment, if everybody in your family is saved, or if you're one of the few Christians, you still have to make a choice and choose to stand for God. He chose a good life, and he became a liability instead of a blessing. Abraham had to bail him out of trouble over and over again. Abraham, if you know the story, had to go to God and beg God to save Lot. And so Lot should have learned and been an example for his children, but instead he still needed Abraham to help him out and get him out of trouble. In Genesis 19, it talks about how the respect that Lot had for the people of from the people of Sodom. And it says, the men in Genesis 19, verse 12, the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place." God had sent angels at Abraham's request. God had sent messengers to tell Lot that he needed to get out of Sodom because God was going to send judgment. And
Lot went to his own family, to his sons-in-laws, in Genesis 19. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. So his own family had lost respect for him, but he had earned the respect. He was respected where he lived in this city. Lot had a tendency to linger when he should have led. He argued with God when he should have obeyed. And for all of our sakes, it would have been better if he would have had obeyed God. But the other men I mentioned, Samson. God needed men to lead his people. Samson was one of the people that he chose, and Samson got distracted by a pretty girl, more than one, and he got distracted and deceived by her. God allowed her to take his strength. King David got distracted. Solomon got distracted. And in Lot's case, he just looked around. He looked and he chose to go to the pleasant. He chose to get away from the conflict, to go somewhere pleasant. And then over and over again, he became a liability instead of a blessing. He was dead weight, or if you're using the shipwreck metaphor, he was the anchor that was holding back the ship of progress. And he allowed his family and his followers to be more invested than he was. Lot's wife turned around and looked back. Lot had brought up his family in a sinful place, and they lingered there. When it was time to go, his wife turned and looked back. And again, the battles that we fight are not against one another. Our armor should not be armed against one another. It should be armed against the enemy. And what Lot had done was he had drawn lines of division in his own family. His own family mocked him. They didn't respect him. And today I want to say, as a church family, and as our individual families, we have to be on the same page. We have to be fighting the same battles. I know a little note we put in the bulletin about the safety or the safety of the church. I don't think there should be any idea that's out of whack. If you have an idea you want to share, I think anything would be a help, because we're all on the same page. Like Dad said, we want to accomplish the same goal. We want to be a place that's safe for somebody to come. We want to be an encouragement to people. We want this place to last a long time. We want to protect it. We want to protect what God has given us. If Lot would apply that to his own family, he wouldn't have made the choices that he made. When he got ready to leave Sodom, his wife turned and looked back, and Jesus used her as an example to say, "Remember Lot's wife." And speaking as a husband, as a representative of what God is supposed to be in each of our lives, for my family, I'm supposed to be the protector and the provider. I don't want anybody in my family being used as a sermon illustration. I know my son is kind of moody, and he goes places he shouldn't go, and he reacts. He's kind of just out there sometimes. And I knew a lot of preachers' kids when I was growing up, and I don't have a lot of good memories of preachers' kids. And I want to be sure that I gain his respect more than I gain all of yours. I might lose it, and I'm more worried about what he thinks of me, because he's going to be part of that circle that I need to defend. He's part of my army. I'm not going to get in a fight with flesh and blood over what God has given me. Lot was concerned about other men's respect. He was concerned about other things besides his own family, and it hurt him in the end. And he allowed them to be more invested than he was. And he lingered when he should have led. He argued with God when he should have obeyed for the sake of his family. When Lot would not be responsible for his family, his daughters took that responsibility upon themselves in an illegitimate way. And Lot's daughters caused a lot of trouble for him. They caused a lot of trouble for future generations. But all of us, and I use the example of Saul. Saul took responsibility because he thought Samuel was late, so he made the sacrifice, or he kept the animals. All of us get to the point where we say, "Well, since you didn't take care of it, I'll take care of it myself. I'll handle it. I'll do it." And Lot was the same way. His daughters were the same way. They said, "Well, since Dad didn't trust God, then we need to figure out how to keep the family going." And they did something terrible. Our hesitancy to do what is right will cause those that are following us to try to make up for our hesitancy. And sometimes it has to be the leader that says it. It can't be anybody else. Because if the leader doesn't say it, it won't be accepted by the followers. And Lot was the leader. Lot was the one to make the statement. And today I talked to moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas. I see a lot of unnecessary fighting where if just the leader of the home would stand up and say, look, this is how we're going to do it. This is the way we're going to do it. And if it's wrong, then I'll take the responsibility up for it. That's what I'm pointing at, is the responsibility has to fall on somebody. Somebody has to answer to God for the people that they're responsible for. Like Dad said in that note today, somebody has to take their responsibility to God and be accountable for it. And Lot was remembered at the end of his life for getting pulled out of a bad situation. The angel came and delivered him. He barely made it out alive, and all of these bad things happened to him. And it all could have been avoided if he'd realized who he was supposed to be fighting. You know, he was looking at his herdsmen fighting. He was looking at his Uncle Abraham. He was not focused on the enemy. He was focused on those that were supposed to be his loved one. Too many of us are controlled by fear, and we compromise away the power of God, the love of God, and he promises us power, the Spirit. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And God gave that same spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. He gave that to Lot, and Lot decided he would compromise it away. God gave that spirit to King David when he should have been fighting the battle, and he instead looked at and chased after Bathsheba. God gave that same spirit when he called Samson. Many other examples in the Bible where God didn't give anybody the spirit of fear, but they chose that spirit and they chose to fight the wrong battle. And if we're not careful, we'll get controlled by that spirit of compromise, and I don't want to offend anybody, and I want everybody to be happy. But the easiest way to offend somebody is not tell them the truth. I would much rather somebody tell me the truth than tell me a lie that I would like to hear now, and then I find out the truth later. God didn't give us that spirit. He didn't give us. He didn't want us to lie to one another. He wanted us to be honest. If Abraham had come to Lot any time in this story and said, "We need to stop and have a conversation," you know, in any of these instances where Lot messed up, Abraham could have stepped in and been an encouragement to him. Even the song that Angie sang, Abraham could have said, "Man, I've been there. You know, I was following God. He told me to pack up and leave. I didn't even know where I was going, but I followed God. I did what he wanted me to do." And Abraham had plenty of story. You know, God told me I was going to have more kids than the stars in the sky and more kids than the sand in the ocean, and I had zero kids for a long time. And it took a while till I saw God begin to work in my life. And Abraham could have been that encouragement. And tonight, I know I'm talking to older people. I'm now 30, you know, I was talking to somebody who were in the class with the teenagers. I kept mentioning old people, and one of them said, "Well, you're old." And I'm like, "No, I'm not old. I didn't mean me." But all of us have somebody in our life that you're probably looking at them right now and you're thinking, they're a lot like Lot. They keep compromising. They keep, you know, making the wrong decisions. They're trying to impress the wrong people, and they're fighting the wrong battles. And it might be one of you tonight could say to them, "You know, I've been praying for you. I think God's working in your life. I think here's some good things that you have done, and I think God could use you," and you could be an encouragement to that person. 1 Corinthians 10, it says, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." In the first verse we read, we wrestle not against these things. We wrestle against powers, rulers, darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and high places, having done all to stand. In 1 Corinthians, he said, if you think you're standing, take heed lest you fall. If you look at a shipwreck, you look at the Titanic, or you know of a plane that's crashed, and you can see all the mistakes that they made, learn from those mistakes. If you see people around you that you have, and they're there for your example, learn from the mistakes they've made, listen to them, learn from them, and then be that encouragement in somebody else's life. It does not have to be shipwreck. It does not have to be a terrible accident where you can see everything that went wrong. You could be part of making that right in somebody else's life. Our salvation is the same way. When God sent his son Christ to pay for our sins, he left us with a choice. A choice between trying to make it on our own or trusting in him, trusting Jesus, trusting in what he did for us. If you're here tonight, you don't know for sure you're going to heaven. That is not a choice that I would leave you with. I want you, if you're here tonight, you don't know that, come forward. We can show you from the Bible how to fight the right battles. You're not responsible. You cannot pay for your own sins. You can't fight that battle. Jesus has to pay for those sins for you. And you'll go the rest of your life in misery, and then it'll get much worse after you pass away if you die without Christ. So we can help you with that tonight. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian, use the examples that God gives you. Nobody has to end in shipwreck. Nobody has to be fighting the wrong battles and not focused on the right enemy. So tonight, I just want to challenge you. We're going to have a word of prayer. We'll have an invitation. And again, I appreciate, I don't want to waste time, but I appreciate the opportunity, and I appreciate the love that I know we have for one another, and we need to express that. We need to say it out loud. We need to challenge one another and encourage one another so we don't crash and burn, and we don't shipwreck, and we can learn from our mistakes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Again, Lord, I know a little bit different kind of night, a different kind of day, and I pray that you would bless us, and again, Lord, help us learn. You didn't give us any part of the Bible for us just to skim over and for us just to not learn from. Help us to learn from the life of Lot and the life of the Apostle Paul, that when he told us we don't need to be concerned about wrestling against flesh and blood. We wrestle against things that all of us need to be fighting the same enemy. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus, that we could show them from the Bible. I pray that they come in just the next few minutes as we sing an invitation song. I pray you be with those that are hurting. I pray you be with each one here and not here. I pray you bless them and bless this invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.